You are Locked On Phillies, your daily Philadelphia Phillies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, guys? It is April 3rd. It is a Wednesday. This is Locked On Phillies. I'm Tim Kelly, and I don't think I have to ask how anyone is. I think I know the answer to that question after last night's Phillies game. There have been memorable returns in sports history, and I'm not sure anyone will ever be able to top the LeBron James return to Cleveland as a member of the Miami Heat, because there was just so much attention focused on that. But it was a similar performance to what we saw with Harper. LeBron got off to a slow start in that game, and if you remember, he took his headband off and then went off. Bryce Harper struck out twice early in this game against Max Scherzer, even though he really worked those at-bats, and it got Scherzer out of the game relatively early after five innings. He worked those at-bats, struck out both times. The Nationals' Twitter account tweeted, "Smell you later," which is a Fresh Prince reference, and a lot of people took that the wrong way. I thought it was fun. Sports need villains. Obviously, DC now is going to paint Harper as a villain, and that's what they did in the first two innings. The problem is, as you're taught in school, if you're a millennial, you know this. When you post something on the internet, it doesn't go away. So it might have been funny the first half hour for Nationals fans to retweet. A couple hours later, when the Phillies got back and tweeted the same thing, it didn't look like such a good tweet. So this is what happened. He struck out those first two times, but then he doubled off of Max Scherzer in the top of the fifth, which was the final inning that Scherzer pitched. He was really good. Nine strikeouts. He really is one of the most fun pitchers that I've ever had the chance to watch. The problem is the Phillies really have figured out a way to bleed out some runs when he's in and get him out of the game early. And I'm going to get to that later on in the second segment of the podcast. But it is a good starting point because they got him out in the fifth. In the top of the sixth, after Gene Segura had cleared the bases with an opposite field double, just really a beautiful piece of hitting. And I think we're becoming accustomed to Gene Segura going the other way. And I am a believer in analytics, but there is something great about guys that can hit the ball the other way, guys that can ground to the right side of the infield when you need to get a runner home from third. And Gene Segura kind of is a throwback in that sense. So Gene Segura does that, and then Bryce Harper comes up, already having gotten a hit the previous inning. He singles home Gene Segura, advances to second base. He does the Fortnite wave, which is becoming really popular with the Phillies. A little bit ironic after the whole Carlos Santana story. But he does the Fortnite wave at second base, and you just see him explode with emotions. It had been kind of, he'd stayed even keel prior to that, because they showed, when they were announcing the Phillies lineup, they showed a tribute to him on the board. Largely fans were booing or disinterested. Harper just kind of stood by the bat rack in his coat, didn't give much of a reaction. The first couple times he came up against Scherzer, great matchup to watch again. But, not a ton of emotion. He had that double into right field, a little bit of acknowledgement towards the dugout. But after this, after previously in the inning, Segura had kind of blown the game open, you really saw that emotion come out of Bryce Harper. And it made you realize, yeah, he's going to be comfortable with turning heel. If he's going to be booed there, he will embrace it. This is someone who people haven't liked him since he entered the league. And maybe he brought a little bit of that on himself early on when he was 18 or 19 years old, but a lot of it now is just purely jealousy. We saw that story in the Washington Post. The Nationals did not mount a serious attempt to try to retain him, and he went somewhere else to a contending team that did that, and the Nationals paid for it, at least in the short term, on Tuesday night. And then in the eighth inning, he came up and he hit a 458-foot home run into the second deck of right field off of Jeremy Hellickson, of all people. And it was just kind of the icing on the cake, because after he had done the Fortnite celebration at second base, he turned in right field where a bunch of people from 94WIP and Fans Affiliate was Cindy Webster, Joe Giglio, and Jack Fritz were out there, among many other Phillies fans who you heard become louder and louder as Nationals fans exited the ballpark. He turned and acknowledged them, and then he hadn't really acknowledged the crowd when he had been trotting out to innings. He kind of looked at them, but not in the same way he had in the first few home games where he bowed and then did the fist pump. All of a sudden, he comes out after that inning with Nationals fans largely having begun to leave the park. He comes out, he does that, or he bows, he does the fist pump, and then he comes up later in the eighth inning, and he hits a 458-foot home run. The average distance of his home runs, his three home runs so far, is 440 feet. Think about that. Like, the one on Sunday Night Baseball, which Matt Vasgersian compared to Roy Hobbs in The Natural and the home run where he smashes the lights. That's the shortest home run he's had the entire season. That was 398 feet. Now, he narrowly missed hitting one to left field earlier in that game, but the three ones that have actually gotten out of the park have been titanic shots, like tape measure all-time shots. The first one was, the second longest home run to Ryan Howard in Citizens Bank Park history. And then you had this one last night, which was 458 feet, just an absolute shot over the Phillies fans who were sitting in the first deck in right field, well over them into the second deck. Many people in Philadelphia, and rightfully so, are caught up in baseball being back, whatever that means exactly to you. For some people, it means checking back into baseball entirely. For some other people like myself and those who cover and watch the teams through thick and thin, it means that we've always been here, but a contending team and national energy and the energy of the city is behind the team again. And it's easy to just get caught up in that. But Harper is off to a scorching hot start, and he's not the only one. But he's hitting .429 with three home runs and an OPS over 1,600. Like, it's an incredibly short sample size. I get all that. But he really wasn't healthy in the first half of last season. He certainly wasn't healthy in the second half of 2017 after tripping over the first base bag at Nationals Park. And prior to in the second half of last year, he was incredible. The first half of 2017, he was on an MVP caliber. When this guy's been healthy in the last few years, he wasn't healthy in 2016, and then 2015 was a historic season. He looks really fresh. He looks healthy, and he is only 26 years old. I mean, he is off to the last two halves of healthy baseball he's played have been Hall of Fame good. 2015. Hall of Fame good doesn't even do it justice. And look, it's an incredibly short sample size, but the Phillies are 4-0, and Bryce Harper he appears rejuvenated in his first few games with the Phillies. It is an extremely exciting time to be in Philadelphia sports. Guys, after you're done listening, sharing, and downloading Locked On Phillies, BlueChew.com is the perfect place to head if you are having any trouble in the bedroom. BlueChew.com, that's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. Why pay more just for the name brand? Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants to add extra function and enhance their performance in the bedroom. Blue Chew is prescribed online, and it ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in the pharmacy line, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than going to a pharmacy. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Right now, we've got a special deal for my listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 shipping. That's promo code MLB. Again, that's BlueChew.com, B-L-U-E, like the color, BlueChew.com, promo code MLB to try it free. BlueChew is better, cheaper, and faster than the other choices. So here's a couple other non-Bryce Harper-related notes from last night's Phillies game, because it would do an injustice to last night's game. I was recapping it for PhilliesNation.com, and really my narrative through, I start getting it ready around the fourth or fifth inning, my narrative through them was, yeah, Harper had a couple hits, that was nice, but Zach Eflin was tremendous. It was a shot in the arm after Pivetta struggled, And Jake Arrieta labored through, was an impressive start on a night where he didn't have his best stuff. But Zach Eflin was pitching with a ton of confidence last night. He was mixing in his breaking pitches very well. He ended up on Pitching Ninja, I think, twice during the game. He mixed in a curveball out of nowhere, which was pretty filthy at one point. Look, last July, he was incredible. If he pitches anything like he did in the first half of last year, which I don't think a lot of people counted on, that's really something huge, especially if Pivetta is much better than he was in his first start, which I think a lot of people, myself included, expect to see out of him, especially if Jake Arrieta is even as good as like being a number three for a contending team. If Zach Eflin is really good as well, the Phillies were in first place at the deadline last year without this type of offense. If they get anything like the pitching they had in the first half of last year, they're able to sustain that, and they have this offense and a bullpen that on paper should be good. We've seen some concerning stuff from David Robertson and Hector Neris so far, but on paper they should be good. Look out. Elsewhere, Michael Franco reached base five times, including hitting his third home run of the year last night. Look, this type of production is not sustainable, certainly not out of the eighth hole, and we've seen Franco get hot for these type of stretches and then come back down to being a replacement-level player for the rest of the year. But that may be all this Phillies team really needs out of him. They're not asking him to be the cleanup guy or to be the fifth hole guy. In a lot of senses, 2017 for him was a disaster, but 2016 and 2018, where he's going to hit 250, hit 25 home runs, drive in 80 runs, yeah, he doesn't see as many pitches or walk in the same way the Phillies would like. And maybe that was concerning when he was your number four or five hitter. But if that's the production you're getting out of your eighth spot, damn, that's good. I mean, forget what other eighth-hole hitter's doing that in the league this year. What other eight-hole hitter does that any year? That's tremendous production to get. And look, this is someone, for any flaws he may have, and I still think he's probably more geared to be a first baseman or a DH, I would like to see him take some more pitches. But he has worked really hard, and it's not something that necessarily shows up. He still puts the ball on the ground too much for a power hitter, but he's someone that has worked hard to take the ball the other way, and he does not miss pitches. When you give him a chance to pull a ball, he puts it in the seats or into the outfield just about every time. So certainly an impressive start from Michael Franco. It'll be interesting to see if he can sustain any level of production even remotely close to this, because obviously he's not going to hit 430 the entire season and hit a home run three out of every four games. But if he does anything like this, the Phillies are just, you're looking at them having an all-time great lineup, not just the best lineup in sports or the best lineup in the sport, which is what Sean Doolittle called them ahead of yesterday's game. I thought that was interesting because, yeah, I think most people would take the Phillies lineup over the Nationals on paper, but the Nationals are in that discussion. And in terms of having a deep bench, the Nationals may have the deepest overall lineup in the entire sport. So it was interesting for him to say that. Nonetheless, Odubel Herrera, after frustrating a lot of people Sunday night, and I thought it was legitimate, he came up there after the pitcher had been throwing no strikes with the bases loaded and swung at a pitch in the dirt. He put together a poor at-bat. He ran into Bryce Harper in the outfield, even though he caught that ball. There are legitimate criticisms of Odubel Herrera, but something about when he faces Max Scherzer, he just seems to lock in. Like, imagine going to the ballpark and being like, oh, yeah, you know, Sunday wasn't a great game, but I'm facing Max Scherzer tonight. Like, here's my chance to really lock in against someone that is probably headed for Cooperstown. He just seems to have his number. He nearly hit a home run in the first inning. On a warmer summer day, he probably would have hit a home run. And then he had three doubles in the game. The O-double thing is back. He had three doubles in this game and was really a spark plug. The thing about Odubel Herrera is when he goes cold and he struggles and he makes some mental errors, it is hard to stick that out, much harder to stick it out when you're a contending team as opposed to when it's like, well, yeah, he had a terrible month of September, but the Phillies were eliminated anyway and he was the best player on a bad team. It's harder to stick out some of those poor months, but some of these months or some of these stretches where he heats up, he is going to be gigantic for this team because, again, this is someone that was hitting third for you a year ago. Now you have Bryce Harper hitting there. You have Rhys Hoskins. You have JT Realmuto. That says nothing of McCutchen and Segura. You have Herrera hitting sixth. If he is producing at if he goes on one of those stretches where he's carrying the lineup out of that sixth spot, again, it's just you look up and down this lineup, and I think a lot of us looked at this lineup before the season and said, yeah, they have the potential to be one of the best teams in the league offensively. We may have underestimated how good this team was because we didn't factor in the chance that some of these guys that struggled a year ago that were incumbents could actually have the best years of their career. And look, it is early. We don't know that Franco and Herrera won't struggle. I'm sure they will at points this season. But certainly off to some impressive starts and very good games last night. The other thing is they've really seemed to have figured out a formula against Max Scherzer. And granted, it takes really good pitching. They got it twice last August when Nola matched up with Max Scherzer, and then they got it again last night with Zach Eflin. But what they're going to do is they're going to get one or two runs off of him, but they're going to try and force him out after five or six innings and not let him get into that seventh or eighth inning. A lot of times people say, well, it's kind of silly to think, yeah, let's get the starting pitcher out because you have so many dominant relievers now. But there's no reliever almost in the sport that you're going to bring in and say, yeah, this guy's an upgrade over Max Scherzer. Like, it just doesn't happen. You're going to have a better matchup with almost anyone in the sport coming in that's not Max Scherzer. So getting him out early, letting him get his, he had nine strikeouts, but you got him out after five innings, and you got into a Nationals bullpen that, prior to getting to Doolittle, has some holes in it. So the Phillies have figured this out. It's key. It's only four games, but this is four wins against the two teams last year that finished above you in the division. You can't say enough about how much that matters in April. You can't win the division in April. You can lose the division in April. And I don't know that you can win the division in April, but you can certainly put yourself in a position to do so because these games against divisional opponents count just as much as the ones in August and September do as well. So giving yourself a cushion, not only in terms of games won, but in terms of games where you win and the teams you're going to be competing with in the division lose, that's giant. Afternoon game today, Aaron Nola goes against Anibal Sanchez. Anibal Sanchez had a nice season with the Braves last year. I know there were some people that thought the Phillies should have taken a look at him to fill out the back end of their rotation. They didn't. He's in D.C., but Aaron Nola, a lot of people were frustrated. The Phillies didn't bump him up. He would have been on normal rest to pitch yesterday. Max Scherzer and him had two great matchups last August. A lot of people wanted to see a third, and I'm sure at some point in 2019 you'll get that matchup. But by saving him, you had a great performance from Eflin, and now you set yourself up with another off day on Thursday to have Nola go deep in this game and put you in a position to be 5-0. And that is gigantic. To have Aaron Nola now, after your 4-0, with all this offensive momentum where you don't necessarily need him to go nine innings to win the game, it's huge. The Phillies have a chance to go back to Philadelphia this weekend, 5-0 against the Minnesota Twins. And Citizens Bank Park was electric last week. I haven't seen it like that since 2011. If you head back there 5-0, having won those games against division rivals, and look, the Twins in the grand scheme of things are insignificant to the Phillies, but it won't seem that way this weekend, and it probably won't seem that way regardless of the outcome. But you head into today's afternoon matchup thinking the Phillies have a really good chance to head back to D.C. or to Philadelphia from D.C. 5-0. It is a great time in Philadelphia. Baseball is back. You can follow me on Twitter at Tim Kelly Sports. You can read my work on PhilliesNation.com and 94WIP.com. I'll be back tomorrow with another Phillies podcast here on Locked On Phillies.